you know, when I'm shooting and, you know, I have somebody in front of me, like I'm doing a portraiture, there's always there's a time when I'm just, you know, I'm telling them, I'm just, you know, checking my lights and checking this and checking that. But really what I'm doing is I'm waiting for them to show themselves.
This is the sound of episode 8 of the KU podcast. I'm Michael Ty, the producer, and your hosts for this episode are Nate Wisniewski and Liz Somerville. On every episode, we invite a guest to talk with us in depth about a single design topic. This week, we're talking photography with Mumbi Maturi. Mumbi is an exhibited photographer and multidiscipline creative.
Graphic designers and photographers do dramatically different work, yet their visual artistry has more than a few similarities. With us today is Mumbi Maturi, an established photographer, director and painter, to give us an insight into her process and hopefully some tips and tricks along the way. Mumbi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's kind of exciting. It's my first podcast.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, we're happy to have you here. Okay, so photographers, graphic designers, and artists are all trying to get their message across in their work, most of the time at least. How does photography do it differently?
I think that designers, graphic designers, are much, much luckier because they don't need to be as abstract as sometimes photographers need to be in telling their story. I mean, at least I see that with my work. Maybe if I was showing, you know, somebody in a pair of jeans, it's very clear, you know, they're happy, they're jumping, yay, you know, it's really quite straightforward. But I think that there's times when I'm trying to tell a story that that might not be absolutely clear. And if I was a graphic designer, you know, I would be able to use straightforward language. So I kind of like the mystery of photography. I like, you know, it feels like art almost, where you're trying to figure out what the person is saying, or you're like, okay, this is just straightforward. They're not telling me much of anything.
It's really interesting. How do you compensate for the lack of the visual language, for example, in the abstract way? I know it depends on the specific situation, but
I think I let people kind of find it. You know, when I'm shooting and, you know, I have somebody in front of me, like I'm doing a portraiture, there's a time when I'm just, you know, I'm telling them, I'm just, you know, checking my lights and checking this and checking that. But really what I'm doing is I'm waiting for them to show themselves. That showing up, where I'm hopeful that they say, oh, that's really me, or that really feels like me, or it's surprising that you captured that of me. And with, you know, with people who I shoot often, then I get that very quickly. Then I get that softness very quickly. Then I get that gentleness. Then I get that, you know, there's, you know, I want everything soft and gentle. That's it. You know, because the world is too harsh out there.
That's true. That's true. What makes a portrait special for you?
It's very strange because I think that I think a lot of my portraiture is people turned away, which is kind of odd because I'm trying to show who they are. It's really strange because I'll look between two images and the I will move slightly, or the subject will move slightly, and there's one that just speaks to me more than the other. I know that Mutua Madeka, who's also a fantastic photographer and a very good friend and my very often muse, And there's a way that he touches, or that the way that he uses his hands, that I just find absolutely beautiful. So what would make one better than the other? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can describe it. I think that I see it, and there's a sense, there's a feeling. It's not too exposed, it's not too open. There's a little bit of closeness about it. There's a little bit of intimacy about it. Sometimes it's just when somebody looks up to the camera and is just turning away, and I catch that shot where they've let everything down and they think, okay. And I say, okay, maybe we can try something else. And they just look away. And that's it. It's kind of odd to think about how I do it. I'm always scared that one day I'll describe it and then it'll go float off into the universe and I won't have it anymore. And then I'll just have my watercolor paints. Well, maybe I'll go to oil paints or something and find it there.
So let's jump into a tangent. This is the first tangent of the episode, because I want to ask you a quick question about AI art. How do you feel about AI art and AI photography?
I saw there was a huge uproar, right, when a web developer or a designer won a photography contest, and it turned out they were using AI. There's somebody who I follow on my Instagram. I'm kind of off of Instagram for now. But there's somebody that I was following, and I thought it was her work. And right. I was like, absolutely gorgeous stuff, you know. And then somebody said to me, no, it's AI. And I was like, what are you talking about? And you know, we tried to, I was on a shoot with him. He's a photographer and my assistant and does my lights, and he's wonderful. And he said, let's create something with this, you know, with this machine. And it kind of took something away. I was so sad. Is it art? Is the question.
That's the question, yeah.
I don't know. I think I would say right now, I would say no, it's not art. Can I say that? Can I say something is not art? In my feeling, it's not art. I think that if the computers become more sophisticated and the artificial intelligence becomes more sophisticated, where two people cannot create the same thing with the same prompts, then yes, there is a part of me that feels that it isn't. And then there's also a part of me that feels that it can be. It can be. It can be.
For sure. You know, as you've touched on limitations, AI art has to be defined by code. You know, that's the limitation at the end of the day. And elements such as essence, strength, space, these are all things that are, you know, undefinable. These are things that, you know, AI art can't generate, I guess. So, Mumbi, does your work cross over into other mediums such as graphic design, print, illustration, that kind of thing?
There has been, and there is, like with my tarot card series, where I want to bring a graphic designer in or an illustrator to see if there's a way that we can turn them into cards. My cultural group is Kikuyu, and when my son was going through, he went through the rites of passage, and there's a lot of stuff that's involved in that. And at the time that he was going through that, I was working with the Horniman Museum, where they were asking us to look at objects, what was taken from the country and taken and put in museums. But one thing that kind of surprised me, which because I'd never heard of it, was a shield. It's called a dancing shield. I've never heard of the dancing shield. And I called my brother who you know, believes that he knows everything about culture. And he didn't know anything about the dancing shield. And of course, I won that day because it's always a competition. So one of the things that I am really keen on doing this year is, the year is done. I don't think I'm going to do it this year, probably next year. This year is done. But one of the things that I wanted to create was portraits of young men and who would have been going around with this dancing shield and doing the initiation dances. But I don't have any of the shields. I can't create one because it wouldn't be allowed for me to create one. It was something that was done with the men for the boys. But what we do have is lots of pictures. And I wanted to speak to an illustrator if I would do the portraits and they would create the different domes on these boys. And then I would ask a friend to do like body art because the boys would have a lot of body art. And, you know, but I'm really keen on doing this. I want to approach it more as a spectator and not so much as a creator, so that I can respect that is how it should be done. So the illustrator would be a man. The person who would do the body art would be a man. And then there would be these young men. And then, you know, all I'll do is, you know, take their portraits and then leave it at that. But, that's one of the times that I feel that, you know, photography and illustration would work so beautifully together, because it would be clear that it is an illustration. And then it's the things I remember saying, there's items that we lost that we long for, but we don't know what those items are. Yeah. But that's a whole conversation for the museums and the governments. And, you know, Benin, some of the Benin bronzes are going back to Nigeria, and I'm very happy about that. But, you know, there's a loss that we have, at least for my culture, where these boys will never know what is passed down to them in those dancing shields.
Mm. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, no, that sounds really interesting. Very good.
Really interesting. So, this one, I want to ask you, who are some photographers that are inspiring you these days? If you had to pick out a few photographers.
Oh, don't ask me this question, because none. I don't know where to find them. I can't think of a single person. What I'm inspired by, I think that there's images that, there's photographers of whose images I love. And then there's what inspires me might never come from photography. It might come from seeing like flowers and seeing a bouquet of flowers and thinking, okay, what I want to do with those flowers is, you know, and I want to create something with flowers. So I think for me, the internet is like, you know, a mood board of, I like that. I kind of like the way I like that color. Or I was watching, I think it was a Star Trek episode, and I wrote it down somewhere. I don't think I'll ever find that piece of paper, but I wrote it down somewhere, and there was something about the blues and the grays, and I wanted to create something with blues and grays and blacks. But because, you know, I didn't start photography planning on starting out in photography. I came from, you know, from making cakes and taking pictures of my cakes and my kids. I never had this inspiration that, you know, that a lot of people have. I'm inspired by beautiful things.
Just surrounding, you know, people in the industry, how would you encourage someone to start in photography? What would you consider to be the first step?
Why? I would ask why. Why? If it's something that you've kind of stumbled on, I think that's great. If it's something that you're planning on doing now, that's why. I know that a friend gave the advice of shoot every day for 30 days.
I've heard of that.
We need the arts. We need photographers. You know, but the curse side is, you know, don't ever quit your day job if you have one, you know what I mean? Because it's really tough out there. There's, you know, with Instagram, what, 2013, I'm sure, I don't know what the numbers are, but I'd love to see how many people became photographers because of Instagram. You know, with smartphones and filters and everything, it's very easy to take pictures. I don't know what it means. Like, you introduced me as an established photographer, and I was like, but yeah, I would ask why. What's a story that you want to tell? How will you tell that story? And do you care if nobody ever, you know, if it's four people who hear it? I don't think equipment matters. I don't think whether you have a full frame or a crop lens, or I started off with a lot of my images. It was, you know, a crop lens, and it was a cropped sensor camera. With my kit lens, the kit lens that came, I didn't know that there was prime lenses. And I met a group of photographers, and, you know, they had, you know, 5D full frame cameras. They had, you know, tons of prime lenses, you know, huge suitcases of equipment. And they kept on saying to me, you know, you need to really up your gear game. And I remember being so angry one day, and I said, you know, what do you like about my photo? You know, can you show me a picture that you like? And one of them did. And I said, you know, did gear matter when I took this image? And gear, you know. So my advice to them is, what's your story and what's your budget? You know, and don't buy too many things. Just keep it really simple. Shoot with your phone as much as you can. While you're shooting with your phone, learn as much as you can on the internet, because everything is there. If you want to learn about aperture or ISO and shutter speed and everything is there on the internet. So shoot with your phone as much as you can. Shoot every day and see at the end of those 30 days, what do I want to shoot? What is it that I really want to shoot? And then go shoot it, you know, and spend your time and your money and shoot it, you know, and be okay with just creating. I think, you know, just be okay that, you know, you and three guys are going to see your stuff, and that's fine.
I think that's definitely good advice to people who are thinking of starting out. I think that's it, the questions, isn't it?
I think that's a really nice place to end it.
Okay, Mumbi, so thank you for joining us on this week's KU podcast. I really encourage everyone who's listening to check out Mumbi's work. You can find it at mumbimaturi.com or by searching mumbi_maturi on Instagram.
Thank you so very much. I really enjoyed our chat. It gave me a lot to think about.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to chat.